You're listening to the Young Opportunist Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We're so excited to bring you part two of the Founder Series. This was an unbelievable episode with our youngest guest on the podcast this far, Cara Davies. Cara is currently 22 years old and she is the co-founder and CEO of Steppen. Steppen is a free social fitness platform designed to help the Gen Z community achieve their fitness goals. In Cara's words, it's basically TikTok meets Spotify, but for fitness.
This user-friendly mobile app allows you to follow creators of fitness content that you like and add playlists just like Spotify. This gives you the easy ability to have all the related workout content in one place. If you've ever had the next revolutionary business idea that you think will disrupt the world, this is the episode for you.
In this episode, we cover the importance of pursuing what you are passionate about in order to not live your life with regret, how Cara has found being the CEO of a rapidly growing startup at the age of only 22 years old, including raising capital, pitching to investors, and basically building a team.
Cara's experience taking the leap and jumping midway through her university degree to start Steppen, and how to filter through all those business ideas that you think of in the shower and gain practical advice on ways to determine which one is the best to pursue, and much, much more.
We thoroughly enjoyed this interview with Cara, and we hope you do too. Let's get underway with today's episode. As we said in the introduction, we are very excited to bring you part two of the Founder Series. Today, we have the honor and privilege to be joined by Cara Davies, the co-founder and CEO of Steppen. Welcome to the podcast, Cara.
Thanks, guys. It's really nice to be here. And I have to say that intro was a bit too generous, but I'm super excited to kind of talk to you about Steppen, what we're doing, and chat.
Awesome. We can't wait to get underway with it and really excited for this one. Before we dive into the evolution and creation of Steppen, we would love to dial in on your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Great question. So, a bit about me. So I was one of those kids in school that took school super seriously, right? So always head in the books, studying, really keen to like smash out awesome scores at school. And I did quite well. And I was luckily able to get a scholarship to uni where I was studying software engineering and psychology at Monash. So I was doing a double degree of kind of engineering and science. And then science at uni, same kind of spiel, right? I was really into uni life, really into studying. And I kind of started to see that if I continued on my trajectory, I was going to end up with like kind of this classic corporate job that I'd be working really hard, probably doing consulting, or if I was lucky doing research with like a Google or Microsoft or something. And I kind of got to the stage that at the back of my head, I was like, is this really what I want to do? And I started thinking maybe not. So that's kind of how I started to think about startups. Do you want me to go into a bit more detail about how that kind of went from that to Steppen?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. So kind of the story of that is, so I was really into uni, studying and stuff, and I really enjoyed my course. That's a great irony. I was really enjoying my course, and it kind of came to COVID lockdown, and we had an extended break with mid-sem. So we got an extra break. And at the time, I'd been thinking a lot about a certain problem that I'd been facing every time I went to the gym, which was every time I went to the gym, I felt like a complete idiot and I had no idea what I was meant to be doing. So I'd be working out and I'd end up doing the exact same workout every single time. So that was kind of my experience. And each time I went into the gym, I got this fresh wave of being super overwhelmed and also just like intimidated. I was like, how am I meant to use the equipment? What am I meant to do? So I ended up just doing the exact same thing every time. And I thought, surely there's a better way about working out. Like there has to be a better way about than me just doing the exact same thing every single time. But when I looked out at the solutions available for kind of people our age, so like think uni students and teenagers in high school and stuff, I was like, wait, none of these really work for us. I'm not going to fork out $60 every time I go to the gym for a personal trainer. I had like one or two free personal training sessions, and then I found out how much they cost. I was like, there's no way I can justify paying that every single time I go to the gym. I was like, there's no way. The other option was kind of get a fitness app that was already existed and that was out there. And all the fitness apps out there were subscription-based, like think Kick, Sweat, Center. And I don't know about you guys, but as soon as I say like, put your credit card details in to access this, I'm like, no, delete this app. So that was kind of my situation. And then I was like, oh, but like, there's a lot of content on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. I was like, cool. There's like some really good influencers, content creators. But I was like, how am I even meant to do these workouts on Instagram and TikTok? Like, these are generic platforms. And for me to actually complete this workout, that is like a time-based ab workout, I still need to worry about my timer and like go through both apps. I was like, this is a shocking experience. Like, surely there's something better than this. But there really wasn't. And I was like, okay, well, that's not good enough. Maybe I should do something about it. And I really liked this. I really like this app. Everyone knows this app. I really love Spotify. And I love the idea that you can take songs from Spotify and put them into a music playlist. And I also sometimes went to the gym with one of my mates, and we'd do a workout together. And then that would be the workout that I did for the next month until we caught up at the gym again, right? Because I didn't know any other exercises besides the ones that we did together. So then I was like, cool, surely I can marry these two concepts and there's like a opportunity here. So that's kind of how I came up with Stepn. So the idea of Stepn was really, I want a way to see what workouts other people like me are doing using user-generated content. So the platform really works kind of like Spotify, but for fitness, that there's content creators that upload exercises. You combine the exercises together to make a workout. Just like on Spotify, there's songs that you combine together to make a playlist. You can tell I've said that a couple of times. So that was kind of the basic concept of Stepn. And it just happened to be that when I was thinking about this and it kept being on my mind, I was on uni break. I was on this mid-sem that was an extra week and I had nothing else to do. And I just turned around to my dad one day. I was like, hey, Dad, like, this is the idea I'm thinking about. What do you think about it? And he was like, that's a really cool idea. Like, you should actually do something about it. And, you know, we always have these crazy ideas. Like, I'm sure you guys have had these. And maybe once upon a time, the podcast was your crazy idea and you guys decided to do something about it, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to do something about it. And that weekend I sat down and kind of wrote a business plan of how it would look. It's nothing like what Stepn is today, but still. And I just started getting the ball rolling and it kind of progressed and progressed until we're here now. So that is very high level, the Stepn story and how we got started.
Wow. And we can't wait to like dive into that even deeper. Like, that's incredible. I love that you, I guess, having the foresight to also have one idea like Spotify, which at first sight, it looks nothing to do with fitness, but you take something great from one company and I guess like combine it into another thing. We can really see the entrepreneurial spirit like within you being able to take all these different ideas and like combine it into one, which is like really impressive.
And we even downloaded the app ourselves and we saw how like user-friendly it was. Like my first, I didn't even look at your description on your website and I was like, this looks a lot like TikTok and Instagram where you can scroll down like the reels and everything and we can see where all those ideas have come from. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks guys. On the app right now is what I'd say is we're always our harshest critics. So like when people are like, oh, the app's great, we're always like, oh, like it's not that good, but thank you. So there's a lot of room to improve. And I'm sure we'll also talk about, I guess, long-term vision of the app and stuff. So yeah, but it is really exciting. And I think the first thing that I'd say like to anyone listening to this podcast that's young and has an idea is just like go for it. I think so often we have crazy ideas and they end up dying in the shower, for lack of a better phrase. And you just never know where something's going to go. And it's a really awesome experience regardless of what happens. You learn so much. So we'd really recommend everyone just to get on those crazy ideas.
I kind of want to dive in a little bit deeper about how you kind of push that idea a bit further. Because as you said, like me and Reese, even this podcast was once like just one idea we've had or we've thought about. And what, you reckon there's like a million ideas we've come up with before? That I think people listening as well can definitely relate. How did you keep pushing forward and you ended up coming into StartMate in the accelerator program? Yeah. How did you turn it from ideation to execution and now expansion?
Really good question. And I'd say like a lot of failing and having no idea what I was doing. I'm usually swear a lot, so I'm going to keep it really tame in my language. Don't know the audience. But a lot of having no idea what I was doing and then being like, okay, cool, that didn't work, so let's try something else. So the first thing I'd say is I also have had so many ideas and I've gone through like as a kid at one point I tried to have like a online business selling beauty products and like a t-shirt printing business and like wanted to write a book about computers. And I went through all these different stages of ideas that I was obsessed with for like a week or a month or something. And then I just kind of lost interest in it. And for me, the reason that I knew that Stepn was the thing that I wanted to do was that just didn't happen. I had like this real urge to do Stepn and kind of see it through. And it'd been at the back of my mind for months, and it just wasn't something that was going away. So for me, that was kind of indication that that was like a keeper idea. In terms of actually going from like idea to product shipped, getting co-founders on, raising money, etc. As I said, it's just been a complete learning experience with us, like me having no idea what to do and then like slowly learning with time. What I'd say is the actual initial steps that I took was, the first thing I did was I spoke to a bunch of people about how they worked out. So I like literally messaged everyone I know, being like, hey, can I get on a Zoom with you to talk about how you work out? And I asked them a bunch of questions just to understand if like this was a problem I was just facing or if other people were experiencing it. And also did like a survey to understand what were people using when they were working out. And that kind of made me realize, okay, cool, there is a need for this type of product. I'm not the only one who has no idea what to do when working out. There's no one app that people our age are using when they're working out. There's an opportunity for this. And I kind of kept going through that process of validifying all these ideas and hypotheses that I had around Stepn by talking to users. I'm kind of mocking up a really initial wireframe of how I thought the app would work and flow, and kind of detailing, I guess, the business proposition, our value prop for users and content creators. And then I got to a stage that I was like, okay, well, I can continue doing this and doing all this research, or I can just take the plunge. And I was like, you know what? I just have to take the plunge. Like, let's just try and find someone to get this built by. So I kind of shopped around for a development agency that could build initial, very basic MVP for us. At this point, it was only me working on Stepn, and I was able to kind of cobble together some of my own savings, and luckily my family kind of put in some money, and get that initial MVP built. And really, it was just kind of, honestly, a bit of a YOLO that I was like, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret this forever. Like, in my head already, I was like, this is going to be this huge platform. We're going to have millions of people using this every single day. Like, we're going to change lives. I was like, well, if I don't do this, like, I'm never going to know what's going to happen. So I have to do it. So I started to get the development process happening. And I used this development agency in Brisbane to build the initial product. One thing that I kind of missed from the story is I was really, really lucky that the first week I kind of thought of the idea of Stepn, I called up someone, my family knew someone that was in startups, and they're like, you should give this guy a call. His name's Simon. Hi, Simon, if he ever listens to this. And he spoke to me that first week, and basically was like, okay, cool, this is what you should do. And Simon really taught me everything that I know about being a founder, about startups and stuff, and just kind of the process of startups. Like, if you get more into startups, anyone listening to this or you guys, there's like a lot of frameworks on how you should go about validifying your idea, about talking to users, kind of like the steps that you should do. And Simon was super helpful in kind of getting my head around those processes. So without him, I probably wouldn't be at the stage that I am. Like, he was super, super influential in those first weeks and just like was so awesome. Every week he'd be like, okay, call me this time again next week and have these things done. So that's kind of, again, ball kept rolling. From there, we got to the stage that I posted about our socials online. And I posted about them, of course, on my personal Instagram. And then my school friend, Jake, saw those posts on Insta, and he sent me a WhatsApp message being like, hey, like, what is this? And at that point, it just been me working on Stepn by myself. And I realized that I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm not amazing at everything. And I was also kind of getting to the stage, I was like, this would be way more fun if there was someone along the ride with me, or like someone that could worry about the same things as I did. And we went for a walk, and Jake, I could see, really like got excited about the vision of Stepn, about us helping make working out accessible to people. And also like could really relate to feeling lost in the gym. So Jake's kind of like, he's like, we're like similar height. He's quite skinny. Sorry, Jake. And he had been knocked out a few times too many when he was playing footy. So they told him he couldn't be playing footy anymore, and he had to go to gym to bulk up. And he went to gym, and he's like, well, what am I meant to do? Like, how am I meant to start? So he could really relate to that problem and was super excited. Jake's background's more like commerce, businessy, where I would say like I'm more like big picture vision type person. So we had complementary skill sets. And I was lucky enough, and I guess he was lucky enough or unlucky enough, both sides, that he got involved and ended up joining as a co-founder. Meanwhile, the app kept being developed. We kept talking to users. And then we got to a stage that we're like, oh, we need some money because otherwise we're not going to be able to have developers or anything to take the app from like initial MVP to thousands of users. So that's kind of like the next stage of our company, I guess. I've spoken for a while, so I'll let you guys jump in with questions and then I'll continue on the story.
No, that was incredible. And I just want to add for our listeners, Kara is 22 years old. So like, what an incredible journey that you've already had at the age, similar to us, we're 21, you're 22 years old, and you're the CEO of this this company. And it's incredible to hear how you just wanted to take that leap. And you talked about so many different facets within that, like the feeling of regret.
That's a big one.
And that's something that we can really relate to as well. Like, life is way too short just to not pursue something that you want to because you're thinking of external factors like what people are going to think or, you know, is now the really right time for me? You know, I'm at university. For you to take that leap, when you said that you were really dedicated with your studies and you enjoyed them, but that idea that just came about and you just couldn't, you don't think you could live yourself if you didn't pursue it, like that's really inspiring.
Yeah, especially when I think when you're excelling at something as well, like even if that's school, when you can see the opportunity that you've created for yourself or you will have one day, like as you said, potentially be an engineer for or a researcher for Google or something like that, then that becomes like, an opportunity cost, if that makes sense. So now like, yeah. I could have this, but now I want to pursue this. So that I reckon that's even harder as well. Like, how did you actually, build up the courage to, did you think about weighing up those options or were you just like that excited about the idea?
What really, really excited me from the beginning about Stepn was two things: the problem that we're solving and like that this was a problem that I felt and was really not great, and I wanted that people could finally feel that they knew what to do when working out and they could finally feel empowered to live healthier lives. Like, that excited me. But the other thing that really got me excited was like being able to be like, oh my god, we're gonna have millions of people using this platform all the time. Like, this is a huge, this is gonna be like the next Facebook, like the next, well, not Facebook now because like whatever about Facebook, this is gonna be like the next TikTok. Like, whoa, like that's so exciting. And I think there's like this crazy thing is like, you really need to believe what you're doing to have a startup. Like, you need to be fully convinced that this is gonna work. I think slowly, like, I became more and more of a believer in what we were doing. And I started realizing if I really want this to work, I'm going to need to kind of opt out of some things. So that was kind of like over summer that the MVP was being built. So I had time and I was actually ended up doing an internship at Afterpay over summer, which was crazy because I was working like 9 to 5 and then I'd be working really late doing stuff for Stepn. And then uni came around. I was like, well, if I actually really believe in this, I need to do half part-time uni. And at the time that was kind of like a big decision. But I was also like who cares? Like, whatever, like worst comes to worst, my degree takes longer to do. Best case scenario, I never have to go back to my degree. That was kind of my thinking. And it wasn't like a straight away me being like, okay, cool, I'm just going to like take time off uni or do X and Y. It's like a slow progression of me realizing more and more if I actually wanted this to be the next TikTok or something, like I need to fully commit to that. So it was a slow progression for sure.
We follow like an entrepreneur. I don't know if you've heard of him, Jesse Itzler. He's like big serial entrepreneur in America. But I remember he tells a story about he was starting one of his early companies and he's like, he had one co-founder and he always talked to him and be like, dude, we're millionaires. They just haven't paid us yet. Like, like just like the same excitement. It's so true. You really do need to have like a strong mission. And I guess that we can sort of move on to seeking capital, because I know that from the conversations we've had with people in, I guess, the startup world, but also research we've done, at least what we've heard, it's more attractive to have a co-founder or multiple co-founders, as well as you've got to have that, like, this idea is going to be the one idea and the only idea I'm going to focus on, because obviously this is real people's money. Like, this is private money investing into you. Can you sort of dive into, I guess, like that evolution and that, I guess, that next stage of the company?
Great question. I think like for people that are follow along in the startup space, still like how to raise money is so unclear for a lot of people and it's like really opaque process. So basically what happened was Jake and I were looking at our bank account. We had a bit of money that we kind of had cobbled together. And we're like, we don't have enough money to like get ourselves a developer or like to take this to the next stage. And we've been using this agency in Brisbane that were pretty good price-wise. We're like, it's not going to be good enough to actually build a sector-changing product. We need money for developers. So we were really lucky that we'd been talking to a family office really early on that were kind of like advisors to me. And they kind of suggested that we should look to raise money in a certain way. So the way that we, and I'll be kind of specific because I think it'll be helpful for people. So the way that we looked to raise money was through a SAFE, which is called a Simple Agreement for Future Equity. That's what it stands for, which is basically like when you're raising money, usually in startups, your company will have a valuation and then people will invest, and the amount of money they get is based on the company's valuation. So they'll get X percentage. But a safe note is when you're really early and you don't have a company valuation because you're too early. And what it means is that investors will invest money now, and that will convert when you raise more money in the future at kind of your company's valuation. So it puts off putting a valuation on your company early, and it just means the process is really streamlined and kind of more simple. That's why it's called Simple Agreement for Future Equity, right? So they kind of suggested that, and we were lucky enough that because we'd been talking to them, they were happy to put in some money for us. And basically what I think got people over the line when we were raising initially, like for context, it was just Jake and I. We hadn't yet launched our product. Dave, our third co-founder, who I'll speak about in a few seconds, he's awesome, wasn't in the team. But I think what really got people over the line was our passion and like our really strong conviction that this is a one in a million opportunity, and like the huge vision of eventually millions of people using the platform every single day was like what excited people and how revolutionary this idea was going to be. And we were super lucky that kind of once you get the ball rolling when you're getting investors on, we got like some initial money committed. They're like, oh, you guys should speak to these people. And then like we go to speak to them and like, oh, we love you, speak to these people. And then slowly, like we just had this network of people that really believed in what we were doing. And we were able to raise more money than we initially thought, which was really super handy for a lot of reasons now that are like good, because it means we have longer runway, we can do more, we can kind of achieve more. But looking back, it's kind of crazy for me to think that we were able to do that. And I'm really, 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 really grateful to our initial investors that really believed in us and kind of has taken a huge chance on what we're doing. I really knew that we would be the ones to kind of pull it off to this next stage. Like that early, people are really investing in you as founders and also like your ambition. And I'm really grateful for our early investors, and like without them we wouldn't be where we are today.
Wow. And how did you secure the investment by Afterpay? Was that through your internship or anything there?
Yeah, kind of. So I was lucky to have kind of a really warm intro to Ant. And after the internship, kind of reached out to him and said, hey, I'd love to thank you for the time. And we got coffee. And I was like, oh, okay, I have to pitch him my idea, Stefan. And we were lucky that I could see when I was talking to him, he was really excited. I was so nervous. I think, again, it was like the ambition factor. And it was really embarrassing because when I was trying to show him like the demo, there was like no Wi-Fi and like the computer wasn't working. I was like dying. But then we were really lucky again that one of our investors is like friendly with Ant. And I think also the fact that they were investing got him over the line. So that was like a lot of connections. So we're lucky enough to kind of get us that warm intro and then also to get him over the line. But yeah, it was probably one of the most nerve-wracking moments I've ever had.
Yeah, what?
Especially when you're doing your like internship there and then your like initial pitch to the co-founder of Afterpay.
Yeah.
I was very nervous. And it's incredible. And like the business that him and Nick have built in Australia, I think is amazing. I think Afterpay has been a huge game changer for the startup and tech scene in Australia. It's just made us globally known as kind of like this random tiny country that now has like a bunch of really awesome startups. And each success story, like Afterpay, Canva, Airwallix, so many other awesome companies, Safety Culture, Culture Amp, all these companies, like they make startups more of a thing in Australia. And it means that when people like me have a crazy idea, it's actually not that crazy because like Melanie Perkins did it, like someone did it, Kate Morris did it, like Anne Eisen did it, like there's other role models. It can be done in Australia. That's really like amazing. And I think the people that have come before us in the startup space have really paved the way for this next wave of entrepreneurs, which hopefully I'll be able to be a part of.
Talk about like, you probably weren't comfortable, but being comfortable with the uncomfortable, because like, I guess that's entrepreneurship. Like wrapped up in a nice little present, being like comfortable with the uncomfortable. But even just like, I don't know, I pictured myself like right there being like, all right, I'm going to have to pitch the idea now. And like, I don't know, that just,
yeah,
just so nerve wracking. But it does take like a different breed of person, but also that does come down to, I guess, your drive and your passion for the company that you want to build.
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think something that we have at Stepin is kind of this idea of nothing above and nothing below. Like, there's nothing above your pay grade in terms of stuff that you have to deal with. And there's nothing below your pay grade in terms of stuff you need to do. If something needs to be done, like probably, and you realize like you're probably the one that needs to do it, because if it's not getting done right now, it's probably you. I think that there's definitely like this aspect to an extent, and this will sound bad, of like no shame. Like there's so many times that I have to like, I had to call people really early on and like cold call users or like my friends that were sick of hearing from me. But like, you need to really, I guess, again, believe that what you're doing is going to be a game changer. And also like there's ups and downs, and you need to be able to be like, this is down right now, but like, I know we can do X, Y, and Z and it'll be better. And I also think that you need to, like a really important thing that I've learned is like, you don't know everything, and like that's completely fine. The thing that you really need to back is yourself being able to learn really quickly. I think the most important skill that I've gained so far being a founder has been like the ability to learn super quickly, like in terms of being uncomfortable with uncomfortable. Like, this is my first time running a company, managing people, acquiring users, thinking about what we should build in the product. There's so many things that I didn't know how to do or didn't even know existed. And for us to be super amazing as a team is we have to prove that we can learn really fast and we can learn the right things. So that's kind of how I'd say it's like a lot of learning and like realizing, oh, it's okay that we stuff this up or mess this up because now we know this isn't what we should do and we need to now try this. So it's really a lot of trial and error is what I'd say, and just belief. You really need to believe in what you're doing at the end of the day.
That's awesome. And yeah, as Ben said before, like we can see your passion within it and the way that you express yourself and talk about, you know, the ups and downs and the learnings from it all. Like, it's special stuff. Mm. Reid Hoffman talks about the importance of scaling fast and raising money in order to achieve this. You guys have definitely done this, as Stepin has grown over 70,000 users across 90 different countries worldwide. What is your secret behind Stepin, and how has Stepin been able to scale so rapidly?
Yeah, so the first thing is when you said 70,000, like we're actually now at like over 100,000, so that's really exciting. But what I'd say is it comes back to the point that I was saying before, you need to be able to learn really fast. Something specifically, Jake does all of our growth and marketing. He has proven himself to be awesome at learning. So Jake, when we started, had no marketing experience, knew nothing about marketing, like no idea what CAC is, which is cost of customer acquisition, all these different things like CPR, all these different things, like terms that mean stuff in marketing. He knew nothing. But just because of how kind of responsibilities ended up being divvied up between us as co-founders, so for context, we have a third co-founder, Dave, who's our CTO. I was doing product stuff in terms of like deciding what we're building and how it would look. Dave was building the product like on the keys. Marketing fell on Jake. That ended up being the thing that he had to do. And he had no idea where to start. And there was a lot of trial and error. And Jake's written a really good blog post. I don't know if you like have show notes or whatever, but I'll send it to you guys after. About kind of his learning process there. So we kind of initially had no growth whatsoever. We had no idea how to acquire users. We didn't know what to do to get them on board. We didn't know who our users were or where they were. And the first step was kind of understanding who we're building our product for. So we're building our product for Gen Z. So that's like people our age, so uni student age, high school student age. So Jake thought, where do people our age hang out? We're always on social media, specifically Instagram and TikTok are really popular for our age demographic. So we kind of realized that those would be the channels that we needed to really own. And the process of owning them was really just scientific experimentation. So think back to like your science days about how the scientific method works. You run a bunch of experiments, you keep everything constant and you change one factor. So that's kind of what we did when we were trying to figure out what was our best target market to acquire users from, what was the best messaging, what was the best platform to use, what was the best content to show them, and how should those creatives look, what messages really converted. And we'd keep all things constant and then change one factor and continue to see, okay, that worked, that didn't work, that worked, that didn't work. And slowly we saw that the cost of how much it was costing to acquire a new user was dropping very quickly, until we kind of nailed this really specific market, very clearly messages that were leading people to convert to downloading the app, and our growth taking off. And that was really exciting. And what I'd say with that is like, that was not an overnight success at all. Like, probably from the outset, it looks like, oh my God, they have like 100,000 users that they've acquired. They've been growing all the time, like straight away from day one. That was not the case. We had like probably 2-3 months that we had barely any users joining the platform at all. And Jake sent this really awesome message to the team being like, I know guys that user growth is on me, but you've got to trust me that I can do this. These are the steps that we're taking. And Jake's ability to really learn fast and kind of was what was able to get us over the line with growth. And like now our growth is super strong. It's super consistent. And honestly, probably one of the strongest parts of our business at this point. Yeah. So shout out to Jake.
Sounds like a wizard. And what
he is, we call him the TikTok, the number one TikTok advertiser in Australia. Like TikTok have told us that our ads are among the best performing in Australia and like globally and stuff. So we're doing something right. But we always, what I'd say is like, need to stay ahead of the curve. Jake's done a really good job at like growth and marketing, but now we're kind of like focusing on the next part of like our growth, which is around community and organic growth. So those will be the next things that we need to learn and show that we can master. That's really what it is, like being an entrepreneur. It's like mastering one skill. Okay, cool. Next skill. What is the next roadblock we're facing? We need to master that. Yeah.
So was that, did that include a lot of like ads on TikTok, as you said before, and like Instagram promoting that to the Gen Z community and like having really alert videos to try and attract them to your platform?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. It meant kind of seeing what was it that people loved about Stephan or what was the real problem we were solving. And like at the end of the day, the ads that converted the best were like the ones that were like really related to the core of why we exist. It is like, do you have no idea what to do in the gym? Like basic premise was like, do you not know what to do in the gym or when you're working out? Do you want to be healthier? Yes, download our app. Like, of course, it was a bit more exciting than that. And they really leaned into being TikToks. And like, they're really quite funny, a lot of the videos. But that's really what we saw. Like, people really wanted this product, our product, because it's a real problem that really obviously impacts people and people care about and face every day when they try and be healthier.
Yeah, you're really solving something and having a real impact on a greater society. Like, that's great. So that kind of leads us perfectly onto our next talking point, which is the long-term vision for Stephan. So obviously you guys have done so well to achieve over 100,000 users, as you corrected me before, but like what are you guys going to do and how are you going to navigate through, you know, that the fitness industry itself is really in high competition. How are you going to navigate through that?
Yeah, great question. So I think it really comes back to the end of the day why we exist as a platform. So we really exist because people aren't living healthy lives, because fitness itself, it's expensive, it's confusing, it's hard, it's generic. That's like, it's difficult inherently, right? So kind of our long-term vision as a platform is to make working out and then health by and large accessible to everyone, so that people really can live healthy lives. And what that looks like is that as a platform, we're not just a fitness app for Gen Z, we are a platform for many different age groups across many different parts of health. So think fitness, mindfulness, nutrition, they're all things that can be done through Stephan. And a really core part of that is our content creators, the people that are uploading exercise and eventually other health content, because we know that people are motivated when they find a coach and someone they really can relate to. And our content creators are vital to our company and kind of like connecting users with content relevant to them. So the long-term vision for us is really to continue to evolve beyond fitness and health and to be the platform that everyone uses every day when they're going to do track their steps or see how long they went to sleep or see what food they're eating, if it's in line with their goals, or think about mindfulness and health. Like, all health data will end up coming through our platform. We really develop into the health ecosystem. And with that, there's so many different ways that we'll be providing value to our users, to our content creators. And I guess taking a step back also, you asked about differentiation and the fitness industry, there's fierce competition. There is indeed, but what we know is that a lot of apps that exist, like if you go back to our problem that we're solving, nothing exists for our age demographic, right? Like, we're completely undertouched in the market. There's nothing really built for us. So we're seeing Gen Z as the entry into the market, and our key differentiators will remain the social aspects and our content creators. They're really key to us being different and providing value to our users.
It really is a disruptive app and like a disruptive, I guess, like technology, because as you said, it's nothing like what we kind of have now. Yeah, there's these online influencers selling like coaching packages and like meal plans and things like that. But I guess you're also producing that for free, which is, as we said before, like we're the exact same as you. You come up to like that payment field and you're like, yeah, do I like it that much? YouTube's pretty good. I don't know. Like, but now, now Stephan's come along, like even just from this 30, 40 minute conversation, it really is like such a disruptive app.
Yeah, that's what we're really looking to do. Like, I think inherently the fitness space is broken. Like, not everyone can access fitness right now. We're trying to create a way that not only everyone can access fitness, but content creators can access all people and they can kind of build businesses. And for sure, right now, all of our content is free, but down the track, there's so many ways that we'll be able to help our content creators make money on our platform through like the things that you're saying. Like, people, influencers might sell workout programs. Right now they're doing that like on their own website, and like you have to be sent somewhere and then you get a PDF, and then like I can send that PDF to all my friends and then I have no interaction with the content creator. Doesn't make sense. There's definitely better ways to do that. So another really exciting part of our platform is working with our content creators to understand how can we create a platform for them also, because at the end of the day, there's kind of like two users on our platform: the people like us that are coming to get educated and achieve a fitness goal, and the content creators that are providing that content. And we need to be able to kind of deal with both sides of our user base for sure.
And how do you filter through the content creators, kind of like being qualified and making sure that they're promoting the correct advice and correct way of doing exercises?
Yeah, great question. We always get asked this question. I find it really funny that we always get asked this question. It makes sense when you think about it. We're fitness app. We should be giving like the right content. But it's just like funny. We always get asked it. So what we've done on our platform is that content creators, if they're qualified, they can request their personal training certificates or qualifications to be displayed on their profile. Then in terms of showing content, it's really easy. It's just an algorithm, right? Like, we make sure that the content that's being displayed is accurate or good content. So there's multiple ways we can do that. The first way is about having content creators that are qualified showing up higher in search algorithms or in terms of recommendations, that aspect. Then there's also quality aspects in terms of like interactions, saves, now workouts are being rated, filtering that in to make sure that content is showing up higher. So they're all things that we're looking at and have already started to do. And we'll just, as we continue to expand and have more and more and more content, be more and more important, especially when we're thinking about our users in the context that most of our users are beginners. Like, we need to be showing them really correct form and healthy ways to work out. So yeah, it's really at the heart of what we do.
Yeah. And I guess it builds a really strong incentive structure for like content creators to actually promote good content as well, which, yeah, which I guess the algorithm takes into account. So I guess we want to finish up with like one last question. And I'm really interested to see what you say about this. So yeah, if you could go back to 18-year-old Cara, what is one piece of advice you'd give her?
And might I add, we usually ask, I guess it usually like 40 years old. So we usually say,
yeah, that's 20, so true. Yeah.
20 year old self. But since you're only like 22 years old,
let's just bring it down to 14 year old car.
I'll answer in two parts. I think I'll say, like, for me as a 14 year old, and also that means just when I started stepping, like, at the very beginning. So the first thing I'd say to myself, and just anyone, is like, Nike says this, you know, that this is their slogan, just do it, like, just go for it. Like, honestly, nothing, like, I'm really of the stance that nothing bad can happen. Like, if you really try your hardest and you treat people with respect and you make sure that you're a good person and you give something a go, nothing bad is going to come out of it. Like, if something flops or isn't as you hoped, you still get a bunch of learning. And I think that learning is so important. Like, the most important thing you can take as an employee or someone is, like, learning and experiences. It's like, I can't speak high enough about it. It's actually one of our values, like, in the company, is like infinite learning. It's really at the core of us as a team. And I think I've said this a lot throughout our discussion, how important learning is. So I'd say just do it, which is actually also one of our values. So I'm parroting our values as a company. That's embarrassing, but that's good. So that's the advice I'd give myself. Just do it. It doesn't matter what people think. I think especially at the start, I was like, oh, what will people think of this idea? What will people think of me, like, deferring uni, well, whatever. But now I just don't care. Like, I couldn't care less. Like, I know what I'm doing is what I want to be doing, and I really believe it. And I think that's really important for people, is just do what you want and just try something new. What I'd say to myself when I started the company is, oh, I think I'd say, like, two things is, again, that learning piece, like, how important it is to learn, and also that you're not meant to know everything, and you definitely don't know everything. What you need to show is that you can learn things really fast. That the other two pieces of advice I'd say is, like, try and prioritize. It's so easy in startups to be like, oh my god, we need to do this. Like, you can't do everything. And that's definitely a trap we fell into really early in our product. We tried to do, like, a gazillion things, and it meant that we had a bunch of unnecessary features that added no value to our users and we just thought were cool. Like, really think, does this matter to a specific user? And then the other thing that I'd say to myself is how important team is. Like, I think that's been a real learning for me, is like how important the team is. Like, I can't speak highly enough of my co-founders, Jake and Dave. Like, they're absolutely amazing. This is our company, and also our employees, Lockie and Amy. Hi, Lockie and Amy. And there's a bunch of people that are starting in the next few weeks. So hi, everyone that's starting in a few weeks. We wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for every single person in our team. And startups is, like, not only the people in our team, but every person that's had a conversation with us or has given us advice or told us that we're doing something stupid or we're doing great, whatever, like, it really takes a village to raise a startup, just like it does to raise a child, you know that saying. And I'm so grateful and for everyone that's been on the journey and that everyone that will continue to be on the journey. So that's kind of my little ramble of what I'd say to myself.
Yeah, that's great. And I think this whole discussion, you have really directed it towards our generation and to the people in our shoes navigating their way through university or unsure on what they want to do. So we know that our listeners will really take a lot of value from this.
We love this. Like, yeah. This is like, I don't know, this is just everything we wanted in a conversation. I think there's so much value that, yeah, as you said, our listeners are between like 16 and 26. And I think that that was like all encompassing of everyone in that age group. And I think, like, on that last point, I think it's so exciting that you have something that you're really passionate about. And I guess, you know, I guess, like, what your purpose is. So I think that's really exciting as well. And something that I think young people, people listening to the show now, like, that's one way that people can navigate through this weird 20s we're about to go into, is figure out what you're actually passionate about and just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, like, there's so many amazing startups solving different problems in this space. And, like, I obviously have drunk the Kool-Aid and think everyone should get into startups. But, like, if there really is a problem that you think that you care about, you should just reach out to a company that is solving that problem or you think is really cool. Like, what I've also learned is, like, experience is of course important, but like as I said, learning is the most important thing. And if you can prove you're really good at learning and you really care about the problem that's being solved, people will want to hire you and you'll be able to provide so much value. So like definitely just reach out to people. People are welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn or whatever. If you have any questions, always happy to help, because as I said, we would not be where we are if it wasn't for people that like were 6 months ahead of us, a year ahead of us, 10 years ahead of us, that were nice enough to talk to us and give us advice. So yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
And we want to hand the mic over to you. Where can people find you?
Great question. So I'm not like most 22-year-olds. The most active social platform I'm on is probably LinkedIn.
mature.
It's what I'd say. So you can find me on LinkedIn. Otherwise, you can send me an email. Or the best way to contact us or me is like, of course, Stepin is on TikTok and Instagram. Stepin Official, I think, on Insta, and Stepin App on TikTok. So if you have any questions or anything, just DM us there. I'm always happy to help and answer things. And yeah, download the app if you haven't already. And also, like, if you download the app and you have comments or thoughts, let us know, because we know the app has a lot of room to improve and we want to build the best app for you guys, our users. So please hit us up.
We love that.
And hopefully that we can have another conversation down the line. It'd be really interesting to see where you are in like a year's time and to
100.
To stem back.
When we have like 100 million users, right? Just 100%. Like, exactly. Happy to be.
Well, we're out by 30,000 users, like, and that was probably only like two weeks ago or something. So thanks so much again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
All good. Anytime, guys. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. It's really exciting for me too.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you want to stay up to date with what's new, remember to press follow on your chosen podcast platform.
You can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Young Opportunist. Once again, thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.